Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 74, Clan of the Grey Wolf. I'm your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host, Scott Michella.
Hello.
We were off last week, but now we are back once again to talk about the latest goings-on in the world of Nintendo. We've got several game impressions to share, we've got a bunch of news to talk about, and we've got our big topic this week, which is going to be four reasons to still love your Nintendo Wii U system.
And only four reasons.
But before we get to that, let's kick it off with these game impressions. Specifically, Super Mario Maker for the Nintendo 3DS came out almost 2 weeks ago. I've had the chance to play this game a little bit, but Scott, you've actually played it very extensively, right?
Have I? I'm at level 5-1, so I wouldn't call that extensively, but I guess that's more than you?
Yeah, I've only played the first couple of levels. I don't own the game yet. I just, you know, tried out a couple of the pre-made stages. I went into the creation mode and fooled around just a little bit, but I've really barely touched it. I did enjoy what I played, but, you know, I'm just barely scratching the surface.
Yeah.
So what's your experience been like?
So it's Mario Maker, which I think is a good thing.
Yes, Mario Maker is a great game on Wii U.
I loved it on the Wii U, and I gotta say, these levels feel better designed than the built-in ones on the Wii U as far as I've gone so far.
Okay.
It feels like the people who developed these levels really took a page out of the levels being made by the fantastic creators all over the world who made these incredible levels in the Course World area. And so that is part of what makes this version of Mario Maker better, I think. But
better, huh?
Better in only that way.
Okay.
For the single player going through the levels mode.
I have to admit, in the couple levels I played, I found them to be really good as well. So
yeah.
I think I will agree with you on this point.
They're very inventive. They're very inventive and they're surprising. And I think that's what makes this game great.
But what about the rest? What about the creation mode?
The creation mode, it's fine. I haven't unlocked everything. I've unlocked about half of the things.
Now, how do you unlock stuff in this game? Because in the last game, you would just do it by messing around in creation mode, and then it would time unlock after, you know, a day of messing around or something like that, or you could just spam blocks. But how has it happened this time?
So as far as I can tell, it happens after you finish each world in the single player mode.
Oh, okay.
I haven't unlocked anything by playing the online levels, by playing the 100 Mario run. That doesn't unlock anything. Not that I've seen so far, and nor does the tutorial, which is completely remedial if you've already, you know, played Mario Maker on the Wii U.
Okay.
It seems to be unlocking three or four pieces that you can add to levels each time you complete a world of four levels.
Well, good thing those levels are fun then, huh?
Yeah, they are. They're really fun, and it's the only reason to buy this, because the online is really gimped. You can play some really good recommended user-created levels, and you can refresh the page and play more, but creating your own levels feels like an exercise in futility, only because the only people that are going to play your created levels are the people you street pass and the people you purposefully sync your level with.
Okay.
So it's not like you're adding your level to a big pot of levels and people get to play and vote on what you've created. It's kind of feels very insular. Otherwise, it's fine. I enjoyed making the one level I made and playing through it, but that's, you know, I don't know how long or how far that will take you, honestly. It feels like it's tacked on and unnecessary. What, I'm going to make a level for you, Chris? That's probably the only reason I'd make a level right now. So
now, I was kind of hoping that there was going to be some sort of feature where you could, you know, trade levels between your Wii U version and your 3DS version, but that's not in there, right?
No, that's not in there at all.
Oh, man, I was hoping that was like something they were just keeping a secret until the game came out. They'd be like, haha, look, we've got a great new feature, because that would make it awesome.
Yeah, it feels like what they've done is they've selected specific levels from the Wii U Course World, and they work fine on the 3DS, but it's bizarre that it isn't just connected with that same Course World and that all the functionality is the same.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the main hook in a lot of ways, is being able to share these levels with everyone after you've made them.
Yeah, so you can share them with people you street pass, and you can purposefully sync with a friend locally, but there's no like code that I can give you right now so you can play the level I made on my 3DS.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. The one other bright spot is Yamamura, the wisecracking pigeon in the tutorial. He eats edamame and it's completely bizarre and he's just, it's completely out of left field. I have no idea. They must have been, you know,
drinking lots of sake.
Yeah, drinking lots of sake.
Or super mushrooms, perhaps that's true.
Yeah, that's right. Super mushrooms. So that's fun and a surprise. But yeah, if you're going to buy this, really only buy it to play the single player levels. I don't see a lot of utility in the course world stuff. Hmm. Although the 100 Mario challenge was kind of fun. So if that's something you like, then that's in there.
Now, I don't suppose that so far you've encountered any new pieces or anything like that?
No, not that I've seen, although I haven't checked into Mario Maker on the Wii U in a while. So there are these ghosts that like float along the ground and like hide underneath the ground and then they pop up. Have you seen this?
Oh yeah, those are in there. If you take the regular boos and just drag them into the floor, they will do that in the Wii U version.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's how that works.
All right, yeah, that's the only thing that I saw. But all the advanced stuff, like doors and keys, that's all in this Mario Maker. So you're not missing out on a lot of, like, those kind of features, but unfortunately...
But you still have to unlock them.
You have to unlock them, that's true. Well, you know, unlocking them is really the
purpose...
You have
to unlock the doors.
But, you know, unlocking those pieces isn't really much of a reward because I'm not going to spend a lot of time building levels that no one's going to play.
Yep, I see what you're saying.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of what we all expected. I wish there was end up being more to it, but you still recommend it just based on the single player built-in levels.
It's a great, for $40, it's a no-brainer, for real.
Okay. Well, I will have to get that sooner or later, I think. Of course, Super Mario Maker isn't the only new Mario game that's hitting these days. Super Mario Run will be out, well, by the time this episode hits, it should be out, available on your iOS device, and everyone will be able to play it. But you've actually been able to play it beforehand, right?
That's right. If you go into any Apple store, as far as I could tell, every iPad and every iPhone in there and iPod Touch had Super Mario Run installed as a demo. So it was the
first. It had Super Mario Running?
Super Mario Running was running. It was running. That's a lot of running.
So what do you think? Is it good?
It is good, with a caveat, and that is, for some reason, I found the pressing to not be instantaneous when you press on the screen and Mario jumps. It felt like there was this delay it's hard weird to complain because it was a lot of fun. And after I got over the fact that the second I pressed, the instant I pressed wasn't the instant Mario jumped, I was able to time my presses, but that could be annoying. So we'll see if that was just the unit I played or if I'm perceiving something that wasn't really there. The graphics are great. It's the highest resolution Mario game anyone's ever played, ever.
How much did you get to play?
I played the first two levels, and it's exactly what it looks like in the preview videos. So it's one button. You press and Mario jumps. You press and hold and he jumps higher. There's a button at the top of the screen that puts Mario in a bubble. So if you pass something that you want to go back to, you can go in a bubble, basically rewind the level and jump, pop out of the bubble, and then you can retry to get the thing you passed.
Oh, didn't know about that.
So that's nice. So if you missed a coin, you could go back.
Yeah.
But there is a time limit on the level. So if you go back too far, you're never going to get to the end before time runs out.
Okay.
There are a lot of hidden, these red coins. You're supposed to collect 5 to get the most points or whatever.
Okay.
And there's a little shop, but I didn't have access to that. But, you know, there's a little shop where you spend in-game currency to build onto this little village that you can build. So it was a lot of fun. The graphics are impressive. The music is, and the sound effects are very Mario. It's a it's a Mario game on the iPhone. It is Super Mario.
Is it new music or is it the same music we've been familiar with in the past games in New Super Mario Brothers?
It's the New Super Mario Brothers music style. I don't know if it's the exact songs, but it feels like it. And the level design was really inventive. There were a couple ways to go through the levels. You could find secret areas by, you know, jumping onto an area where it wasn't obvious you could jump to, mm-hmm. and then jumping off walls. So it's got that wall jumping mechanic. There are these weight blocks that you'll walk over and it'll let you decide whether you're going to go up or down. It gives you a second to take a breath and figure out, okay, where am I going next, which is nice. Okay. There That's are platforms, spring platforms that bounce you up really high. Mm-hmm. The enemies aren't, as far as I could tell, the enemies couldn't hurt you.
Huh,
you
weird.
Either stomp them, or if you ran into them without jumping.
Yeah, you just vault over them, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if in later levels enemies can actually hurt you. I don't think there was any death by falling either that I could see. Huh, that's interesting. But I'm sure that's got to be in the game.
Yeah, I'll bet it's going to be there in the real final game.
Yeah. So yeah, great experience. My only issue with it was the not instantaneous jumping, especially with a Mario game. It needs to be snappy.
Well, yeah, with Mario, that's what it's all about. You got to have that responsiveness.
That's right.
But that's not really stopping you. You're still going to get it when it comes out, right?
For sure. It's an instant purchase for me. $10, I was like, I'm in.
Okay.
So even if you play through half of this, you're going to get your $10 worth.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to getting it as well. We'll talk more about it next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move along to the news, there was one other new game that you have played recently, right?
Yes. Let me see if I can remember the name. Pirate Pop Plus. I just saw it randomly in the eShop, and mm-hmm. the graphics for the marketing material looked really cute. And I was like, wow, they put a lot of time into these images. I wonder if they put that much time into making the game. So I watched the trailer video inside the eShop, and it's looked adorable. It's an 8-bit monochrome Buster Brothers. If you don't know Buster Brothers, it's this old, I think, Taito game.
I think Capcom published it.
Oh, is it Capcom? So it's a puzzle. It's not quite a puzzle game. It's like an action game where you're a little dude that runs along the bottom of the screen, and you're shooting a spear up towards the ceiling to pop bubbles that are bouncing around you. And if the bubbles hit you, you get hurt. And if you get hit too many times, you die.
Yeah, I remember that. I think I played on the Super NES.
That's right. So it's a very 8-bit version of that with really fun power-ups.
Well, it's basically a Game Boy aesthetic, right?
It is Game Boy aesthetic. It's monochrome, so
right up your alley.
Even the menus are in monochrome. Nothing about this is in color except for the frame around the screen, which is built to look like an old-style like LCD handheld game, like a Game Boy. And there's one button, and it says action, so you... It's a one-button game with a D-pad. You're moving left, right. There's a pirate in the middle who throws bubbles at you, and you're popping the bubbles and collecting power-ups, and you're earning coins, and you're spending the in-game currency to upgrade the little handheld console that wraps the screen. There is a zoom feature on the screen because the screen is tiny. It's like in 1-to-1 pixel mode, you can barely see the smallest bubbles because they're like 2 pixels high. There is a zoom mode. If you press, I think, the right shoulder button, it'll zoom the screen out, but it makes all the pixels blurry. So for a purist like me, I was not down with that. So I played it in this 1-to-1 pixel mode. I highly recommend it if you like old style action arcade style games.
All right, cool. What does it cost?
Good question. I think it was $5.
And did you tell me it was cross-buy?
It is cross-buy. So you get it on the Wii U and the 3DS. I haven't played it yet on the Wii U. I'm assuming there's got to be high resolution pixely graphics on it. But who knows? I'll have to try that out later.
All right, cool. Glad to hear you're enjoying it.
Yeah, totally worth it.
Well, let's move on from here to the latest about one of the most anticipated Nintendo games, The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild. There was an update to the website, there was a new trailer, there was new gameplay footage. Scott, I'm assuming you checked this out and were all over that stuff and seen all the new stuff about Zelda?
No. I'm so out of the loop. What did I miss?
Well, boy, did you miss out then. There was a whole bunch of new stuff. It wasn't a really long trailer. It was only about a minute and a half, and a lot of it was very calm, but it really showed off a lot more of the scope of the world that I think people had really been wanting to see. And, you know, even though it is Breath of the Wild and it's all about exploring the wilderness, people wanted to know, oh, it's not just the wilderness, is it? And no, in this trailer, you got to see a lot more. We finally got to see towns. We got to see, you know, some guards patrolling this big old honking bridge. We got to see this big structure. It looked like some sort of big dragon skull or something. It was kind of in shadow, so I couldn't really tell if it was really a skull or just something that kind of looked like that. But it looked really neat. And then, on top of that, there was this one area that looked like the ruins of a castle, or more specifically, it looked like the ruins of the fountain that was outside Hyrule Castle in The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. So is this kind of a hint that this takes place in the Twilight Princess continuity, or is it just a coincidence that it looks that way? Either way, it looked really neat and got me very excited.
Mm-hmm.
We also got to see some new characters. In one scene, it looks like there's another character fighting alongside Link. And I don't know if that's just from a cutscene, or maybe NPCs join you, or what it is, but that was kind of interesting to see. More important than that was that they showed off, kind of, this new female character. Presumably, it's Zelda. We don't know for sure, but she was in some blue attire, very similar to Link. They did never show her face, but just, you know, seeing a glimpse of her, knowing that she's there, seeing her, you know, offer her hand to Link, that's pretty cool and exciting and something to look forward mm-hmm. to once we learn more about that. And then there are these bird people. Now, if you played Wind Waker, you're familiar with the Rito in that game. And I don't know if these are similar bird people or descended from them or how they're connected, but there's also a race of bird people in this game. They introduce us to one character named Cass, and he's a minstrel bird man who helps you on a quest to find a shrine. And then there's also this big old flying bird-shaped airship, and the bird people, I don't know if they live on that or they just are exploring with it.
Uh-huh.
But it's big and really cool looking and kind of intimidating. And I don't know if, you know, those are necessarily all good guys or bad guys or how it all pans out, but it's cool. It's just really nice to see that stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they packed all that into the trailer. And then on top of that, there was this demo. And in the demo, you got to see Link going on a little quest, the one I was alluding to, that Cass the Minstrel Birdman is helping you with and trying to guide you to a shrine, or possibly even one of the major shrines. Like, we know there are supposed to be big full-size dungeons in the game that we haven't seen yet, and I think that's where you're going, because they didn't really show the inside of it.
Yeah,
but you're being guided there. They're showing some of the multiple routes you can take. You know, you can be all stealthy and sneak up on enemies, or you can just head on in full action and see if you can survive that. And of course, that's stuff we all knew about, but, you know, it's cool to see it in action again. Also, Link was wearing a different attire when he was going on this quest. Instead of wearing the blue tunic, he is wearing sort of this red and green outfit with a brown leather armor over it.
Hmm.
And we've known that there are all kinds of different pieces of gear you can get throughout the game. But, you know, this really reaffirms to me that by the end of the game, I think you will definitely be wearing trademark green Link outfit, you know, with the master sword and probably even the hat.
There is a crafting mechanic. Do you think there would be crafting associated with making better armor and weapons for yourself?
I wouldn't be surprised if either of those were in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, with weapons, they seem like they want you to mostly be taking them from enemies, not crafting them yourself. But I wouldn't be surprised if that was going on with some of the gear.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause then maybe it would be customizable and I can wear an orange tunic or pink.
Another thing I got from seeing this footage is that this game does seem really hard. It seems like they're cranking up the difficulty quite a bit from previous Zelda games. And I got that same feeling when I played the game back at E3. You know, I came across this enemy encampment and I was fighting them and I got wiped out by one enemy attack. One strong enemy did me in. So, you know, if you thought the previous Zelda games were too easy, you know, this definitely seems to be fixing that.
Maybe they just did that to keep the demo time short.
Maybe. I mean, I suppose it's possible, but I don't know. I don't think so. Everything so far they've been showing has been pointing to a tougher Zelda experience. And I'm not necessarily sure that's a bad thing. The respawn points in the demo were very generous, and if it's that way in the game, so you're not sent back, you know, way too far, then you know, a little challenge would be a welcome thing. Of course, the trailer did end with them reaffirming that the game is indeed coming to Wii U and to Switch.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone was really doubting that, but if you were, it's good to know it's still on the way to both. And speaking of Switch, you know, we had the first footage of seeing Breath of the Wild on Switch when Reggie was on the Jimmy Fallon show.
Yeah, so how did it compare to what you know of the game and what you played on the Wii U?
They really didn't show very much.
Yeah.
I mean, the area that they showed, I recognized. I remember that part where you would roll the boulder on the enemies and there was like this little skull cave off in the distance, and that was the place where I got wiped out in one hit after failing to take out all the enemies. So it was definitely, you know, places I was familiar with, and they didn't really show beyond that. But seeing it running on Switch for the first time was cool, and it was running very smoothly. There didn't seem to be any frame rate issues or anything like that. It seemed like it was a bit more optimized than some people have been concerned about in the past. So, yeah, everything seems to be coming along pretty well. Yeah, nothing really new in the gameplay department, but hey, it's really neat to see it running on Switch and seeing it, you know, it's like, here it is on your handheld portable form.
Yeah.
This massive, massive game that you can take with you anywhere as long as your batteries hold up.
Well, watching that footage, it was funny how controlled that environment was around it. And I was there for G4's E3 coverage, and Reggie had come on with the Wii remote. Anyway, that whole marketing effort is super controlled. Except, I guess, everything but Bill Trennan's tongue is super controlled. But
what about Miyamoto's thumb?
Miyamoto's thumb is also good. That sideways upwards thumb was pretty he pointed it down and then he put it up. That was really cute.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen what we're talking about, you can find that on YouTube. It's
It's all over YouTube and on NBC's website.
It was pretty silly. But what struck me was I was thinking they must be here to reveal something, like the thing has a touchscreen, and I was thinking eventually somebody's going to touch the screen and something will happen. And of course that didn't happen.
Well, I mean, for me, just seeing the game, you know, running on Switch for the first time, I think that was the big thing, and I think that was pretty cool. So that made me happy. But speaking of Miyamoto being on the show, I suppose you caught the part where he was playing the Mario theme with the band?
Yes, that was really cute and fun. I really liked that.
That was neat. Yeah, people should definitely check that out.
I couldn't hear what part he was playing, though. There were so many instruments, and yeah. I would have loved to hear a solo from him. And you could barely hear he was playing lead. I think he was playing lead for a bit of that, but I couldn't quite tell.
Yeah, my ears aren't good enough to be able to tell either. I don't know. But still, pretty cool. Now, what did you think of his Samurai Mario shirt? What do you think that was all about?
Oh, I don't know if I even saw that. I'll have to rewatch it. I don't think that even struck me. What was that? Was that Samurai Mario shirt?
Well, I don't know if they've revealed what it is yet. I don't know what it is. But if I had to guess, I would say it's tied to the next Mario game on Switch.
Oh.
I mean, we've seen that Mario goes to this sort of Mexican-looking town.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to, you know, Japanese-themed worlds and all kinds of different, you know, themed worlds that are inspired by various nations and things like that. I mean, we've seen Mario go to Japanese-themed worlds before. I mean, I remember something in Mario 3D World that was very distinctly Japanese.
Yep.
So maybe he's going back to a Japanese world, and maybe he's got a new samurai power-up outfit or something like that. Who knows?
Cool. I really hope they put that shirt on sale. And looking at it now, it looks really cool, and I would love a shirt like this.
Yeah, that would be really neat if that was offered to the public. But speaking of Nintendo merchandise that is for sale, moving back to Zelda for a bit, there are some Breath of the Wild pocket watches that have been made available over in Japan recently. Have you been able to see these?
No. Tell me about them.
Well, it's nothing, you know, especially extravagant or fancy. And in one sense, that's good because they're actually affordable. These are only about $20 each. But they still look pretty neat. There are two of them. There's one that has a blue face with a subtle image of Link drawing his bow. It's the same art we've seen plenty of times. And then the other one is a black and gold face that's covered with Hyrulean symbols of various sorts. And, for video game collectibles, they're, you know, fairly classy. If you're interested in such things, you can get them at importers such as NCSX.com.
Might be a little too late to get it in time for the holidays, I guess.
Well, they're not out yet. Oh. It is still a pre-order. It's coming out in April of next year, 2017. But if you're interested in it, now you know where to go and put that order in. As for Zelda merchandise that's currently available, let's discuss the recently released Zelda series Amiibo.
Amiibo!
I don't suppose you picked up any of these guys?
No. Did you?
Oh, yes. I picked up the whole lot of them.
So did you pre-order them online? How did you get them?
Well, I did pre-order them from Amazon, but Amazon messed up my order again. And so I only got Ocarina Link from them. After that, I was traveling out of town, which is why we didn't have an episode last week. Mm-hmm. And I managed to stop by a Toys R Us store where I was able to find the other ones. And I'm pretty happy with them, not surprisingly. I mean, they're not perfect, but, you know, I love Zelda. These are great representations. They're all really detailed, you know, especially you look at things like the shields and, you know, like Zelda's dress has a very impressive detailed print on it.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to pick a favorite, oh man, I don't know. I mean, I'd probably go with Ocarina of Time Link because it's such an iconic look for the character, such an iconic outfit. It's not the most dynamic pose because he's holding the ocarina like he's about to play it. And as I point out on Twitter, it kind of looks like he's about to just chomp into a burrito. But I still really like it. And the face is great. The likeness is so much better than the Link figure that we got for Super Smash Brothers. And, you know, even though this one is kind of looking down too, it still, you know, works out a whole lot better than the Smash Brothers one did.
Yeah.
As for the two-pack with Wind Waker Link and Wind Waker Zelda, these are both very nice versions of the character. We already got a Wind Waker Link from Smash Brothers, so this one kind of feels unnecessary, but it's cool to have one where he's posing with the Wind Waker baton. And Zelda is all new. We have not had a Wind Waker Zelda before, so that's really cool to have. And like I said, she's one of the most detailed ones of this set. Then the fourth one is the Pixel Link. And it's just really cool to have this one and being able to put it on the shelf alongside the Pixel Marios that came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
I do wish I had a bigger stand because the Marios had a big stand. And so if you put them all together, Link is just like half an inch shorter, which is kind of weird. But that's a very small complaint. The other thing about him is that they added this sword to his back.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool, but it's also not true to the game. He does not actually walk around with a diagonal sword slung across his back.
Oh, well, that's silly.
I'm not really sure what to make of that. I think I would have probably preferred it without it, even though it is a nifty detail. I don't really mind it, and I'm not going to be looking at his back a whole lot. I'm just going to be looking at his face and his big pointy snout. But it is a bit of weirdness.
Yeah.
Even so, I think they're all good, and if you are a Zelda fan, certainly pick those up.
All right.
Why don't we talk about a couple of exciting third-party bits of software coming to Nintendo systems?
Okay.
This was first shown during the Game Awards. I'm talking about the first look at the next DLC for Shovel Knight, Shovel Knight Spectre of Torment.
Yeah, so you'll be playing as Spectre Knight then, right?
Yes, yes you will. And I don't know if you saw the trailer they released for this, but man, it looks super extensive. It looks really impressive, really amazing. They've gone all out with this. I mean, this is a free add-on to a game that people have already bought. So I'm amazed how much effort they're putting into this. This is a full-blown prequel. It's almost like an all-new game.
Yeah, I can't believe they're still sticking to their guns and releasing these things practically for free for people who already have the game.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, really amazing. So in this mode, you are playing as the Spectre Knight, but you aren't, you know, this floaty guy like the boss character you encounter. He does run around. He actually has legs. Who knew? He can run up walls, and he can do all kinds of cool things with his sickle. Like, he can use it to chain air dashes from enemy to enemy. It's almost like a grapple, or kind of like, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog's homing attack or something like that. And then he can do rail grinds on the scythe. They've redesigned the levels, they've added new elements, they've added new enemies, they've added new bosses, new boss patterns. Like, there was this one, it looks like a mid-boss of like this big bird creature that's puking out rainbows. Was that in the original or is that new?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember, but it looks cool, whatever it is. Oh, and there's this weird rhinoceros creature that the Black Knight rides on. All kinds of neat stuff. Then there are these black and white flashback scenes. I don't know if you're actually playing those or if it's just something you watch, but I'm guessing you play through those scenes. So, yeah, there's just a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'm just really happy to see how you control Spectre Knight, and that I was just concerned that you were going to fly through the levels and what's the challenge there. And to see him actually walk on legs and have this really cool boost mechanic where he's jumping into the air, slashing and jumping.
Mm. Yeah, it was like there's a lot of technique involved.
It's just unbelievable. And the fact they've thoughtfully redesigned the game to accommodate this character is just bizarre. I don't know how they have the time or the resources to do this.
Well, I'm not sure either, but I'm happy they're doing it because it looks like a whole lot of fun. Can't wait to play it.
Nor can I.
But speaking of really cool downloadable games, there is an update on the long-awaited Shantae Half-Genie Hero. And that update is, hey, the game is out.
It's out.
Asterisk, if you are a Kickstarter backer.
Ah.
In full disclosure, I am. So I got my code yesterday and I started playing the game. For everybody else, I think it's going to be out on December 20th for digital download. And then there'll be a physical release that's published by Xseed that's coming out on December 27th, if that kind of thing floats your boat.
So you didn't get a fee. It's not going to be physical. So you just got a download code, but you got it like a week early.
Yes. But because I'm crazy, I'm also going to get the physical Wii U version as well.
You gotta.
You do, if you're insane like me. But so far, I've really been enjoying it. I mean, I played the game back at E3, and the first level is pretty much just that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's not a problem, because it's really good, it's really fun, it looks gorgeous. When you first start out, and you're visiting Shantae's lighthouse home, and seeing it in glorious HD for the first time, because this is the first time they have made a Shantae game specifically for consoles. There have been other ones, but they've all been ports of handheld versions that they've just, you know, up-resed for the console market. But this is the first time it's really been made for console and for HD. So seeing all the detail they've packed into there is really amazing.
Well, you played it for quite a while, you told me. What kept you playing so long? I mean, is not a pick-up-and-play kind of game? Is it more of an adventure-styled? What kept you playing for so long?
Well, I mean, it really is a pick-up-and-play kind of game. It's much more of an action platformer than the previous games. I mean, it still has adventure elements. It still has reasons to go back into the level. It still has multiple paths and places to explore, but it feels a little bit more like a traditional action platformer than the last couple of Shantae games. I don't know if that's necessarily good or bad, but it's certainly a lot of fun. And, you know, exploring, trying to find optional areas where you can get new abilities and new transformations, that's one of the reasons I kept playing. And the core play mechanics are just really, really fun. You know, the hair whipping is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The platforming is a lot of fun. There's this one stage where you're you know, falling down a really, really long, I guess it's not a conveyor belt, but it's kind of like a conveyor belt because you're going to be possibly canned up like a tuna for bad guys to eat.
Yeah.
It's really weird. It's also got a very quirky sense of humor, which is another one of the great reasons to play it. So yeah, I played it for a few hours last night and it kept me up a lot later than I was expecting. But I think there's still a lot more to see and a lot more to explore. So I'm going to keep playing it and I will talk about it more on next week's episode. But so far it has a very, very, very enthusiastic thumbs up from me.
Awesome.
On the other hand, we've got another downloadable, long-awaited Kickstarter-backed game that was supposed to be coming to Nintendo systems. And we have found out it has been canceled for Wii U.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
No more Yooka-Laylee.
Yeah, I wonder what the decision there was and why that happened.
Well, they said it is due to unforeseen technical issues.
Hmm.
And that's why they canceled it. But I have a sneaking suspicion that their unforeseen technical issue is that Switch is coming out next year, and that is just going to be a more viable platform for them to work on.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they have admitted that they are working closely with Nintendo to ensure that it does come to that system.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that does work out. I kind of expect it will. But man, it kind of makes me happy that I did not actually back this thing. I would feel pretty ripped off if a Nintendo release was no longer a sure thing, especially this late in the game. It hits other consoles in April.
Mm-hmm.
So if I already contributed, and right now I'm just being told it's not hitting Wii U after all.
Yeah.
I would feel pretty gypped.
Well, I'm glad Switch is still on the table, although...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more than on the table. I think it's probably a done deal. They just haven't said so yet.
Okay.
But, I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a lot further off than the other versions,
yeah.
So... I'm still expecting good things. I'm still crossing my fingers, but... Yeah, I do feel a little miffed about this cancellation of the Wii U version, especially after they were saying, oh, we're doing the PC version, the Wii U version in-house.
Yeah.
Because that's the best way to, you know, get the highest quality. Yep. And then we found, oh, we technical issues, couldn't do it. Sorry, we just found out today, 2 months before the game comes out or whatever. So,
well, yeah. When we're staring down the coffin of the Wii U, we'll know who drove one of the nails into the thing.
Yeah, this is not one of our top four reasons to love.
It is not.
To love Wii U.
Yep.
But yeah, still looking forward to it when it does come, especially with that Shovel Knight crossover.
Yeah, yeah.
Just one other bit of news that I wanted to make mention of. On our last episode, we talked about the update about the Nintendo Universal theme park. And then, since then, Nintendo has released a new image and new details.
Yeah, which is exciting. I love that they're keeping the excitement up for something that's so, so far off at this point.
Yeah. They said it was coming sometime in the next few years, but now they're saying that it's coming in 2020 to Universal Studios in Osaka, Japan, known as Super Nintendo World.
Yeah.
Presumably that's going to be the first one because they're trying to get it ready for when the Olympics are there in Tokyo in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably an even longer wait for here in California in Orlando. Anyway, you look at it, though, if you check out the little teaser render that Nintendo sent out there, it's looking pretty cool.
Yeah,
did you see this thing?
I'm not taking that picture at face value. It's
I don't think it's meant to be taken literally.
I wouldn't even call it a concept sketch. It's just bananas, like the scale of the thing. And it could be that, but it probably won't be. And honestly, I don't think it should be because that's a whole lot of Mario and there's not much room for anything else with something in that picture.
Well, it shows some cool ideas. It shows
it
a Bowser castle.
Yep.
It shows, you know, like a Princess Peach's castle. And it shows some very, very authentically Mario-esque levels. And all that stuff looks really, really great. You know, it even has, you know, little, you know, Mario characters running around. Presumably we'll have the Mario cast running around in costume around the area like the characters do at Disneyland.
That's going to be huge because at Universal, costume characters aren't really that big a thing. It's not Disney World where a huge draw is sitting and getting your picture taken with Mickey. And that is going to be one of the biggest draws of this park is to pose with Luigi, to meet and shake Wario's hand, to, you know, see Princess Zelda wave from a parade float. That is what's exciting because I don't want to see Iron Man wave at me from a parade float. I don't want to see a Harry Potter lookalike. They're not. It's not, you know, it's not Harry Potter when you meet Harry Potter at the Harry Potter land. It's just not, you know, it's not a place for costume characters. But this Nintendo World will have all those great opportunities.
I want to get farted on by Wario.
A butt stomp.
Of course, they did indicate that was only the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have multiple worlds representing multiple games. So it's not just going to be Mario stuff, even though that's all that was shown in the image. So there's going to be a lot more than that, and we're going to have, you know, 3 or 4 years to learn all about it. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
All right, I think we should take a little intermission here, and then when we come back, we will discuss this week's big topic, which is 4 reasons to still love your Wii U. All right, we are back and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is 4 reasons to still love your Wii U system.
4 reasons.
Obviously, the Nintendo Switch is coming out in about 3 months or so.
Yeah.
Nintendo is kind of moving on. Most of the developers are moving on. The last big Wii U game published by Nintendo was Paper Mario Color Splash, and that was a couple of months ago. So, you know, if you have a Wii U, I can see you thinking, oh man, this poor guy, he's ready to be taken out back and buried already.
He's got some life left in him yet, but he's looking shaky. He's looking shaky.
But there are still reasons to really enjoy this system.
There are.
You know, some of them you've probably already encountered. Mm-hmm. Some of them maybe you haven't thought about in a while. But I would like to highlight some of the most notable reasons to still be enjoying your Wii U. Mm-hmm. First of all, the controller. Personally, I love that controller. I think it is a fantastic controller, a fantastic piece of hardware. I feel like kind of it's gotten a bad rap over the years, but I'm really not sure why, because as far as I'm concerned, this is like the controller that does it all. It works great as a standard controller because it has everything you need as a gamer to play core gamer games, mm-hmm. with dual analog, with a control pad, with multiple shoulder buttons. And then it's got motion. You can do motion with it. And then it's got a big old honking touch screen, which works great.
Yeah, it surprisingly works well. It's not the capacitive touchscreen that you'd have on like an iPad, but it still works fine for what you need. You know, it's not like you're doing these precise things on the thing. You're mostly fat thumbing it, right?
Well, I mean, it's very, very functional though for every game that's been designed to take advantage of it. It works really, really well in the capacity it was built.
I feel the same way, especially when you put a game like Super Mario Maker on it and you are using the stylus and doing some pretty fine stuff. You're drawing a level out, you're working in different scales. It works really well for what it is. And even though it's old technology, it looks old, it feels good. It's still very, very solid.
And then on top of that, it's got NFC, it's got a microphone, it's got a camera, it's got Rumble. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's a shame that the Wii U is being put out to pasture so early in its life cycle, because the true potential of this controller, I don't think, was ever actually realized. I really do think it's the most versatile controller that I've ever used.
Sony tried to do this with the PlayStation and the Vita, and it never caught on. It's kind of like a promise unfulfilled.
Referring to off-screen play, you mean?
It didn't ever do the thing that they promised, and the Wii U didn't promise a whole lot, but it delivered on what it promised for sure. And I definitely feel like I got my money's worth. I can't take the gamepad too far away from the base station. It's not like you can go, you know, a block away from your house and play on the second screen. It's really
you can basically go to your bedroom, maybe, if you're lucky.
You can stay in the same general vicinity of the base unit and it still will work. But it was never touted as a, you know, off-screen experience where it's, you know, portable, really. But for what it is, I think it's great. It freed up the television for other people to use while you can continue playing your game on the couch or in the, you know, maybe in an adjacent room. You can put headphones into the thing. It really feels like its own console at that point. And I think without this gamepad, we wouldn't have the Switch at all. The Switch wouldn't even be a thing because the Wii U gamepad really broke all that ground.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, the Switch does kind of feel like, you know, all the potential of Wii U finally actually realized. But just as a controller, you know, I just love the fact that it is so feature-rich.
It is a great controller. And I think a lot of people were concerned that, my gosh, it's gigantic, and there was no controller that large before, except for that comical GameCube controller with a full keyboard between the left and right sticks.
So, probably for playing Phantasy Star Online or something like that.
But so it was comically large, but now that we've had years to get used to it, it feels very natural to have your hands that far apart and play.
I don't know. I think it feels great. Yeah. I do not have any complaints about that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Sony before and how Wii U is able to do some of the things that Sony wanted to do but couldn't quite do. And I think comparing the Wii U gamepad to the PS4 controller is a great example of that, because the PS4 controller has sort of a touchpad in the center, but it's not a screen. You just drag your finger on it and things move. But without it being a screen, it's really hard to tell what this thing is doing and what it's all about.
Yeah.
And so I find that functionality to be very limited. It's something I don't like to use. I find it to be very clumsy, whereas I think, you know, the touchscreen stuff works fantastic on Wii U. So I would take this over a PS4 controller any day of the week. And I never thought I would say that.
Yeah. It's a good controller. It feels great. And it's even got a great D-pad. And of course, Nintendo always makes a great D-pad. But the fact that I play a lot of older games, and I can play these virtual console games and not feel like I'm giving up any of the experience by playing it on this gamepad. I don't feel like I need an NES controller that plugs into my Wii U.
Well, that is a perfect segue to the second reason, and that is virtual console and backwards compatibility. That is a feature that Wii U does spectacularly. You have access not only to Wii U games, but a vast library of Nintendo's older stuff. It has the NES, the Super NES, N64, Wii, Game Boy Advance, and DS, all available, just, you know, built in on Wii U. You're able to get all this stuff either through the eShop or through the built-in backwards compatibility when it comes to Wii discs. But it's just staggering that there are that many systems available all in one place. And that's not even counting if you switch over into Wii mode and go into the Wii virtual console catalog. Then you have Genesis stuff, TurboGrafx stuff, Neo Geo stuff. I think all those are still available.
Yeah, they are. You can still buy Wii eShop money. I think it's still separate. I think the money is separate.
It's still separate. It's bizarre. That the Commodore 64 got rid of their games. So I thought it's possible that some of the others have as well, but I think Commodore 64 is probably the only one that has been disabled.
Yeah.
Anyway, between all those, it's so much stuff. It's so much classic gaming. It's amazing. And a lot of the titles that we got on Wii U were ones we weren't able to get before. I mean, we finally got Earthbound after clamoring for it for for years and years and years on the Wii. It finally came out on Wii U. And then we got Earthbound Beginnings, which I never expected we would get. And that's just to name a couple of the great games that are available on virtual consoles. So it's super duper impressive when you really take a look and see how much of this stuff is available. And if I were to, unhook my Wii U and put it away in the closet, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I've suddenly lost access to so many amazing games that you can get through that system.
Yeah, it is quite impressive that I think the Switch is going to have a hard time, because this doesn't have this backwards compatibility built in. They're going to have to figure out a way that we can get access to that back catalog of virtual console stuff and not have it disappear forever, because stuff like the Genesis games, stuff like the TurboGrafx games, those are it's going to be hard to get those on a newer console, I think.
Yeah, for sure. There is a rumor, of course, the Switch will have GameCube games in its virtual console library.
That's exciting.
But of course, that is just a rumor for now. But that's basically the only thing that's missing. If they add that in, Wii U would like have it all almost when it comes to classic gaming. Well, moving on to our number three reason, The Legend of Zelda. This is a great system for fans of one of the greatest series in all of gaming, The Legend of Zelda. And this sort of ties into virtual console because almost every single console Zelda game is playable on Wii U. The original Legend of Zelda, Zelda 2, Link to the Past, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Wind Waker HD, Twilight Princess HD, Skyward Sword, Phantom Hourglass, Spirit Tracks, Minish Cap. Sorry, I went off onto to handhelds.
No, please keep going. That's awesome that they're all there.
All of those are available there. And of course, soon we'll be getting Breath of the Wild.
Yep.
So if you love Zelda, that is, this is like the best system you could have, just to have all that stuff in one place. And of course, there even was a special Legend of Zelda themed Wii U console that came out a few years ago, I think around the time that Wind Waker HD came out.
So
if you are a fan of that series, that's like the ultimate thing you could have, a black and gold Zelda-themed Wii U system packed with this fantastic library of excellent games.
Yeah.
And I guess you could kind of say the same thing for some of Nintendo's other major series. You could say, well, you know, almost every Mario game is on there too. Although with Sunshine missing, you know, it's kind of like, you know, that's kind of a big omission. Plus, it didn't get any of these HD remakes that Zelda got.
Yeah. Yeah, those HD remakes are really, I think, the strongest the strongest titles on the Wii U.
Yeah, they're definitely some of the best.
Even the fact that they're remakes, they're remakes of older games, and the fact that they're still such great games, and I consider them in my top five, those two HD games.
Yeah, that really, really helps. Although for Metroid fans, I mean, on the one hand, Metroid fans did not get any new games on Wii U, so that's a huge downer.
That's crazy.
But I do believe it has every console Metroid game. It has Metroid, Super Metroid, the Prime Trilogy, even has, it has Other M, Metroid Prime Hunters, Metroid Fusion, Metroid Zero Mission.
It does have Other M?
Yes, I believe that one just came out a week or two ago. Oh, wow. As a downloadable title.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you have the disc, you can just pop right into your Wii U.
I don't have the disc. So.
Well, if you want to experience that game, yes, you can get it as a download now. But sorry, I digress. Zelda is where it's at. That, I mean, Ultimate System for Zelda fans, that is definitely a great thing about it. And then moving on to our fourth and final reason. This might be something that sounds completely obvious, but it would be exclusive games. You know, that's the reason to own almost any Nintendo system, and it's definitely still true when it comes to Wii U. It has a great selection of awesome games that you can't really get anywhere else. Just to name a few examples, Super Mario 3D World, Splatoon, Mario Kart 8, Bayonetta 2, New Super Mario Bros. U, Xenoblade Chronicles X, Pikmin 3, Tokyo Mirage Sessions, all those really, really great games. And I guess you could sort of count Super Smash Bros. In there as well. I mean, I know there's a 3DS version, but this is the only place you can go to play it in 8-player mode. It's the only place to play it, you know, on an actual console and, you know, sit around with your friends playing it on TV. So that one, I think, almost counts as, you know, an exclusive as well.
Yeah. And I think it's key that they had all these great titles because their third-party support was really, really lacking through the lifetime of this console.
Yeah.
We got very, very little in the way of good AAA third-party titles were practically non-existent on this platform. So
yeah, I agree.
It was abandoned after the first year by most of the bigger developers. So
yeah, after the developers came out and, you know, nothing was really a big hit out the gate because they were all like, you know, crappy ports of old games. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, nothing's going to sell on this system. Let's give up right away.
Yeah.
Sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I would say if you only played first-party titles on this system, I feel like you'd have gotten your money's worth by far, even if you own zero third-party games. I think I have, in my whole library, I think I have three or four non-Nintendo published titles, which is crazy. But yeah, I mean, they were really, you know, wonderful. The ones that Nintendo made for this system were really great because they really took the time and took the care to make it work great for the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think all those games that I named off are like games that you would not want to be without. Like owning the system just for those games is a pretty good reason to own a Wii U. Of course, you know, according to all the rumors and things that we've seen, seems like many of them might be coming to Switch. And so 3 or 4 months from now, this might not be necessarily a reason to keep loving your Wii U because you can get Splatoon or Mario Kart or who knows what else on Nintendo's next system. But for now, you know, it's the only place you can go to play something like Mario Kart 8. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's still a really fun game all this time later.
It is. I don't know that Switch is going to do that much to improve on Mario Kart 8. So, you know, why not play it right now?
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
I want to say is while we were looking up reasons to still love your Wii U, we were having trouble thinking of like five reasons because four sounded, you know, oh, we should probably have a top five list. It was tough coming up with, you know, a fifth. Nintendo is a stubborn company, and I still love them because of it. And I wanted to say something like, oh, and you know, you can get it at a really good price right now, or yeah, but that's just not the case. The fact that they are shutting down production of this thing and they're not doing anything to affect the price, I bet you're going to have trouble finding a boxed Wii U in the next 5 months at less than retail. You may be paying more than retail. This is going to become an endangered species of a console. I think this Wii U next holiday season with a stack of $20, those red box Nintendo Selects games would have made a great present, but I don't think we're going to have that opportunity next holiday season. So if you don't have one now, or if you know a friend who was on the fence about, oh, it's such a, got such a great library, I want to check it out, don't wait. Do not wait. The Wii U is going to become a hard-to-find console, I guarantee it.
Yeah, it is pretty weird. There really was never a big, significant price drop to try to get this into more people's hands.
It is
very strange when you think about it.
It is.
But personally, I'm not suggesting that people buy a Wii U at this point, really. If you've waited this long, you can probably hold out for Switch, but if you do have one, there are definitely good reasons to still enjoy it and not trade it in or not bury it in the back of the closet just yet.
No, don't. And look for those Nintendo Selects games. They're really good, and they are at a reasonably good price. And there's a lot of stuff on Virtual Console that's way cheaper than if you try to pick it up as like on the Wii, because the scarcity of some of these games just got so bananas, stuff like Xenoblade. So yeah, check out the Wii U. Go back into the Virtual Console, and I tell you what, go back into Wii mode on the dang thing, especially if you got rid of your Wii, because there's a lot to love there too.
Yep, absolutely. I think that does it for this topic. That means it's probably time to wrap up the show, but before we go, we still have time for, yes, that's right, a dramatic reading. This time, it's from the manual of another game that's available on the NES Classic, that being Star Tropics. Hi, my name is Michael Jones, but my friends call me Mike. I'm 15 years old, and I live in Seattle, Washington. Have you heard of my Uncle Steve? Well, most people don't call him that. They call him Dr. Jones. He's a very famous archaeologist who is looking for some lost ruins in the Coral Sea. I've never actually met him, but last week I received a letter from him inviting me to stay with him at his laboratory on Sea Island. I leave tomorrow on a helicopter. I bet I won't be able to sleep at all tonight. Well, good night.
Are you serious? Is that not? No way.
I'm serious.
No.
That's it. That was the story for the game in the manual.
Oh my. Oh my. That's so bad. That's crazy. So I just played this game for the first time like a week ago, because it's just sitting on that NES Classic menu and taunting me, and I'm like, oh, I'll check you out, Star Tropics.
Hey, you never played it before, huh?
No. Well, I didn't enjoy it, I'll tell you that. I don't know how it wound up on the NES
it's
Classic.
It's a very acquired taste.
It is. It's got a jump button it doesn't need. And... my biggest complaint was it just punishes you for no reason. I understand that Zelda punishes you because it was the first game of its kind, pretty much, not counting like Adventure on the Atari. But this game has no excuse for playing the way it does. It should have been a much better game. And the fact that I'm using a yo-yo to hit enemies instead.
It's not a yo-yo now, it's a star, don't forget.
Star, yeah.
That makes no sense. Oh, total boy. Nonsense.
And of course, Dr. Jones, like totally Indiana Jones ripping off. oh gosh, I don't even know. Man.
Like I said, it's an acquired taste. It wasn't one that I ever actually played back in the day. I did not actually play that one until it came out on the Wii Virtual Console.
No, I expected more. I expected more.
Anyway, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and you can find Scott at PlasticBugs. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and if you like the podcast, it would be great if you would leave us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Scott Michella,
Pirate Pop Plus,
and our ever fashionable friend Proto Man, we will see you next time.